for joining us for another episode of Divorce Confidential. I'm Michelle DeLino, family law and divorce attorney with DeLino Law Group in the Seattle Bellevue area.
And I'm Amy Alpeza. I'm a certified real estate divorce specialist, and I work all over King County, specialize in helping clients who are either going through divorce or separation understand their real estate assets as it pertains to their divorce settlement.
Divorce Confidential is tips and tricks from the pros. Every week, we're going to bring you something new, something you didn't know, something that matters.
And we've got a great topic for you today. Amy, how's it going?
Really good. Good. It's been a great start to the new year. It's actually sunny here in Washington. And happy to be here. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, things are on the up. It's the beginning of the new year. And someone said to me yesterday, they're like, most people's New Year's resolutions are broken by now. And I'm kind of like, I don't think so. Everybody I'm talking to is having a really good 2023. So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't believe that. But it is, I think we touched on this last time. It is like prime divorce season. People are ending their marriages. They're doing all kinds of stuff. So things are really busy right now for everybody, and it's prime real estate season. And that kind of leads me to our topic today. So I was talking to a real estate attorney who actually we both know, and she just said, you need to tell people to stop buying property as unmarried people without an agreement in place, because you're only going to line the pockets of real estate attorneys later when everything goes to hell. So do you have a lot of clients that are buying property together that are not married? Tell me about it.
You know, I would say a lot of my clients who are not married are planning to get married. I have had several clients in the past who aren't married that buy property together. And that's always a conversation that I have with them is, do you have a prenup in place? Do you have a CIR in place? What do you have in place in order to protect you if you guys do break up? And I know we have a mutual client who they bought something several years ago, and I think now are breaking up, and that's, you know, kind of a problem for them. But I do think it's also, you'll have one person who will put the down payment and one person who will try to buy it. And then the other person still lives there and contributes towards the mortgage and whatnot. But that, I think that's when it gets to be a little bit messy, right?
Yeah, totally. There's all kinds of scenarios. Sometimes you're buying a place and one person got a bonus at work, so they're putting down most of the down payment. The other person is putting down little or maybe nothing.
Right, right.
They're paying towards the mortgage. And then the question's about, how are you going on title? Are you both going to be on title and financing? Is one person going to be on title and financing? There's all these questions. And you know, one thing we see people out there, especially, you know, a lot of people getting bonuses, tech RSUs, things like that, that put them in a position to buy property and come up with a down when they wouldn't have been before. So then maybe you're a younger person, you're buying a property with a partner, you're not married, you're funding the down payment, but you're both going on title. You need to make sure you've got a clear agreement about, are you getting your down payment back if you break up? You know, just because you're both on title, you need to understand, do you own the property 50-50 or do you own it proportionally?
Right.
How do you own it? Like, there's all of these kinds of questions. And then there's the couples where maybe it's a long-term relationship where they never got married. And it's 30, 40 years down the line and somebody dies. Then you've got one person's estate coming after half the home because you didn't leave it to the other person. So there's so many issues with unmarried people buying property, and like, it's crazy. And less people are getting married now too, I think. I mean, or they're getting married later, right?
Like, I normally get involved when it is a situation where they have a committed intimate relationship, or they think they do, and then now they're breaking up and now they need to sell the house, or they're trying to figure out, hey, what do we do with this house? Or can we afford, you know, to keep it, one of us? And then how do we buy the other person out? Or how much is the other person entitled to? Like, I had a conversation just a couple of weeks ago with a woman who her and her boyfriend had been together for 3 or 4 years, and they decided to buy real estate together here in Washington. And she had put the down payment down. He didn't, but he contributed toward the mortgage. And so now it's like, well, I want to keep the house. And the other party's saying, well, I need you to buy me out. Right.
Right.
So how do we do that? And, you know, are you really entitled to the full share of your down payment? right? Or are you entitled to that plus, you know, interest, right, if you will, or appreciation?
And this is the thing, is that these are all things that you're going to fight about if this happens. If you break up a committed intimate relationship, let's touch on that for a minute too. So a lot of people don't know, we've talked about it before, but a lot of people don't know that living together in Washington means something different than a lot of other states. Right. It means if you live together in a stable marriage-like relationship, even if you're not married, it's committed and it's an intimate and it's a relationship, that one party can claim that at the end and you may have property rights. So even if the home was in one person's name, the other person can sue for committed intimate relationship division of assets, and you can end up giving them part of the home. So right. Anyway, long story short is, a lot of times, like you said, you get involved when people are trying to figure out what to do with the house. And if you don't want to have to make those decisions, the easiest way to avoid all of this is do a cohabitation agreement. Cohabitation agreement just says whose money is whose, what happens with the home if you break up, if you're going to sell it, if you're going to keep it, if there's an option for one party to buy the other out. There's like a whole timeline of events and then a dispute resolution process to deal with it that will keep you from spending literally tens of thousands of dollars fighting because somebody will file an action to partition a home, and then you'll be dealing with a real estate attorney, and someone will file for a committed intimate relationship, and then you'll be dealing with a family law attorney. So you're going to be dealing with two attorneys, you're going to be litigating, or if somebody dies, you're going to be dealing with a probate attorney. So maybe three. Right. And you don't, no one needs to be doing any of that. You could spend a little bit of money up front and clearly define what's going to happen in a cohabitation agreement. So, and you could do that with a family law attorney. So that, in my opinion, is what you should do. But I thought it was really interesting just hearing from this friend of ours that was saying, I'm getting like a rash of these right now. Yeah. And this is avoidable. So
what would you say? So I actually have a good friend, and her partner, they bought a house together, I think 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And I know that they don't have a cohabitation agreement in place. So mm-hmm. there's something, I mean, they're on really great terms, right? There's no problem. But would you, so the steps that you recommend is hire a family law attorney to
Have somebody draft. Yeah, have someone draft. I mean, it's never too late to do it. And the time to do it really like is when you're getting along. And there's a lot of stigma around cohab agreements, prenups, postnups, all that kind of stuff. But really what I think people need to realize is it's like insurance, okay? Like you don't go and take out insurance because you think you're going to hit someone and kill someone. You take out insurance so if you do, it doesn't wreck you financially and it's clear that you're going to be protected. It's kind of like with a cohabitation agreement, you don't do one because you think the relationship's going to end and someone's going to fight with someone else. You do it because you have love and respect for each other. And you want to say, if something goes wrong, we're not going to, you know, waste a ton of money fighting. We're going to decide what this is going to look like instead of, you know, the laws and spending a bunch of money on lawyers. So yeah, it's never too late. One person would consult with an attorney and have them draft it. And then the other party consults with an attorney who reviews the agreement and helps you propose edits. So both people have a neutral advocate. And doing agreements is usually really non-contentious because it's people trying to help avoid contentious situations. So it's usually really amicable. It's a good process. And then it also too, I think, is good for relationships because you're going to have those conversations about money and make sure that everybody's on the same page. So whether it's the beginning of a relationship or you've been together for a while, it never hurts to do it. So
that's a really good point. And then do you guys handle, let's say maybe only one, you know, party is on title, or mm-hmm. you can handle the transfer of deeds or
All of that. Yeah. Recording. I feel like we're recording deeds for people constantly because it's easier for us to do it. We can do it electronically and it's easier for us to do it. And one thing people do need to know, I was just talking to a client earlier this week, actually, is that we will file something to be recorded and the recorder's office doesn't always necessarily do it right away. So it's good to have someone doing it for you that can then follow up, make sure it's recorded, get you the numbers that you need. So it might not be reflected right away on the website, but we'll get you a copy of the recorded deed. We'll make sure it's done. Like a lot of the time you could just drop something off at a recorder's office if you're doing it on your own and who knows when they'll get to it. So especially in King County. So yeah, it really makes sense to deal with the property that you have or you're going to buy and making sure that if you're not married or even if you are married, but especially if you're not married, that you're identifying what happens next if you don't stay together forever. Because a lot of times people don't stay together forever. You know?
It's just smart, right? It's good business. And
totally. Totally.
Put it that way. It is. It's just being smart. So awesome. Well, thanks for joining us today, you guys. Hope you got some tips from this podcast, and we hope you'll join us for our next one.
All right. We'll see you next time. Take care.